ceases to amaze me how the Lord works. The thought that I've had on my mind, been weighing upon it. Brother Levi called out, God will take care of you. The song that was on my mind was, In the Midst of the Storm, It Is I. They're in perfect harmony. Many of the hymns sung this evening were in perfect harmony in that same direction. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn. I'm not going to read to you, but you can find this account in 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. I'm going to make some remarks here and then move on. Here you're going to find where the wickedness that is taking place at the end of the 16th chapter. It says, In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. Let me back up. Let's just back up to 31. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You talking about a bad king, brother. They've got a bad one. Better be careful what you ask for. They should have been okay with a theocracy, and they wanted what they got, and they got it. They wanted a king like everybody else got. And the problem is, kings are men, and they had some good ones, and they had some bad ones. For the most part, they had bad ones, to be honest with you. Here, this one is exceptionally bad, because he's done more at this point in time to anger the Lord than any king that has gone before. And then you have where Elijah, the Tishbite, in the 17th chapter comes on the scene, and he tells them it's not going to rain. It's not even going to do. There's going to be a great drought hit the land. And the Lord takes Elijah and sends him to go to this brook, Cherith, and that he has commanded the ravens to take care of him. And here he is. He said, you'll drink of the brook, and the ravens will provide for you. They bring him bread and meat every day, and he drinks of the brook. There's a great famine about to take place in this land. There is no rain. There is not even the hint of dew in the land. And God is commanding him to go and encamp, if you will, by this river. And by this brook where he's at, the brook provides him with water. And every day, ravens bring him meat and bread. That's amazing. A ravenous bird. Boy, we could go and do some preaching over in Isaiah, but we won't. That ain't where we're headed to. But anyway, this ravenous bird provides for Elijah. And then the day comes where the brook dries up. Now, a lot of times the misconception in the religious world today is that people will say, well, if you'll give me your hand, your heart to God, everything's going to be a cakewalk from this point forward. I've got a different story for you, brother. The Lord himself said, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what that tells me? It says to mortify the deeds of the flesh. There is a killing and a sacrifice that has to take place on a daily basis. And it is not an easy job. Matter of fact, the Lord told him, he said, oh, I'll go with you, Lord. He said, man, the foxes have holes. Birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay. Are you sure you're wanting to sign up for this? Jesus Christ is baptized, and the very first individual to visit him after his baptism to find deacons down at the church. No, a fellow preacher? No. No, it's Satan himself, brethren. Satan himself visits the Lord. But sometimes we get in our mind that when we're doing what we're supposed to do, everything's just going to fall right into place and be just as pretty as you please, and it's going to be just right. Can you imagine what must have been going through Elijah's mind? Here Elijah, by the command of the Lord, has gone up, made encampment by this brook. The ravens take care of him. The Lord's providing for him, and all of a sudden the brook dries up. Well, I must not be doing what I'm supposed to be. That's our first reaction. I must be doing something wrong. Something bad's going on. No, brethren, Elijah was doing exactly what Elijah was supposed to do. When the Lord calls you to do something, I want you to know He's going to give you what you need to do. The Lord never calls us to do something we're not equipped to do. Never. You'll never find an instance in Scripture where the Lord calls us to do something that He doesn't also qualify us to be able to accomplish it. He'll never call you to do something that you can't accomplish. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we're thick-headed and bull-headed, and it takes us a long time to remember that. I know that I ran from the call to preach for a long time. A lot of y'all witnessed it in my life. And I done some hard running. And when I got to the end of the rope, my confession to the Lord was this: if Balaam's ass can preach the gospel, then I suppose you can use me in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I'll submit. I quit. I give up. When the Lord calls us to do something, because in my mind I said, there is no way that I'm good enough. I've got all these problems, and I this, and I that, and I this, and I that. And when I come to the conclusion that when the Lord calls us to do something, if we'll lean and trust in Him, then He'll bless us to accomplish what He's called us to do. And we need to remember that. Because I'm going to tell you, He's called us to be disciples. We need to remember that. But this discipleship takes a sacrifice. And sometimes, brethren, there are going to be bumps in the road. Sometimes there's going to be storms. Sometimes the brook is going to dry up. That don't mean you jump out of the boat. A lot of people just want to bail out of the ship when the brook dries up. Well, let's throw our hands up and quit, Lord. And you're going to see this even in Elijah's life a little later on. You're going to see this exact same thing take place. But right here, he's still trusting in the Lord. Lord comes to him. Brook dries up. He said, I want you to go down here and you're going to find an old widow woman. And when you find her, you tell her to make you a cake of meat. He goes down there, he finds it. Just like the Lord said, y'all don't need this for yourself. I'm going to paraphrase it, but you can go get it. Now this woman, you're talking about count your blessings. This woman has reconciled in her mind to go and fetch a little bit of water. And she's going to go back home and she's going to get the last little bit of meal she's got. And she's going to make a cake for her. She's going to make a cake for her son. They're going to eat it, and they're going to die. There ain't nothing else in the pantry, folks. There's no such thing as welfare. There's no such thing as go down there to the cheese line or whatever it is, whatever, food stamps. There's no such thing as these things. There's a great famine in the land because Elijah's done told him it wasn't going to rain because of this wickedness that's come before the Lord. And now, this woman and her only son are fixing to eat their last meal, and they're reconciled to the fact, this is it. This is the last meal we're going to have together. I'll see you in glory. That's where their mindset is. Elijah beckons unto her. Asks her to fetch him some water and to go prepare for him a cake of meal. And she said, well, see, there's a problem with this request you've made, prophet. And that is, I only got enough for me and my son to eat, and we're fixing to eat, and we're going to die. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. You go and you make me one first, and then you make one for yourself and your son afterward. And the Bible says she done just like he told her to do. You know what happened through that entire famine? Every time she went back to that barrel, there was just enough. Brother James, he didn't say it was overflowing, but there was enough. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand what it means to pray for our daily bread. We like to put up a year's worth or 2 years' worth or maybe 3 years' worth of stuff when we start putting up stuff. I'll never forget as a kid. I couldn't understand why in the world we had to bring in such a big garden over. Pawpaw would have to go out there and empty out 3 freezers because of everything that had been put in there, and he gave food away to everybody, and then we turned around and put all that in the freezer. But now, I'm telling you, people that lived through the Great Depression, it changed them. They looked at things with a total different light than what we do today. But the fact of the matter is, we like to have way more yonder than enough. But the Lord says He'll provide our very needs. And he says that we're to pray, bless us this day with our daily bread. I'm going to tell you, that dear old widow woman and her son and that prophet ate out of that same empty barrel and that same empty cruse the entire time that the drought was taking place. That's amazing in and of itself. Now, she's being obedient. She's doing just what she's supposed to do. Then all of a sudden, her son dies. And she said, I don't even know why you come into my life. That's what she says to Elijah. I don't even know why I listen to you. You ever pondered this, brethren? How long ago was it when she and her son was prepared to eat their last cake of meal and die? You see, and a lot of times we might throw her under the bus and say, look at there, just how she's so unthankful. Look at the time she was blessed to have with her son because of the obedience to go and do as the prophet told her to do. You know, the Lord gave us a command too. First commandment of promise. Honor thy mother and father, thy days might be prolonged. It's a commandment with promise. Here, this woman, she has taken for granted these blessings that she has feasted upon. She has had meal after meal after meal with her son. Even though they should have only had one meal way back over there and died, they have broke bread together and broke bread together and broke bread together. And instead of saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for sparing me in the midst of the famine and providing for my family and blessing us with a little longer together. She said, I don't even know why you came here, is what she tells the prophet. Why did I listen to you? But then what does Elijah do? Boy, Elijah's blessed and brings the son back to life, right? Now, this is amazing, but the point I want you to get is this. A lot of times, when tribulations come, we fail to count those blessings. A lot of times, when hard times come, we start looking to blame everybody else other than ourselves. And sometimes, folks, a storm is just a storm. Somebody asked me the other day, he came into the store and he asked me, he said, how's the world treating you? I said, you know what you just ask? And he said, yeah. I said, well, that's a very soul-searching question you've asked me. What do you mean? I said, well, I really need to start taking account because if the world's treating me too good, then I might be acting too much like the world and I might not be following after the Lord the way I ought to. Because the Lord said, Marvin, aren't the world hate you. It hated me for it hated you. Somebody asked you how the world treating you. Oh, it's treating me great. You might want to look at your footsteps. There's opposition, brethren. Lord said we're going to face opposition. Said the world's going to hate you. Don't be surprised when that happens. Oh, my goodness. No, it's no shock. It's no surprise. He said they hated me before they hated you. Don't be surprised at that. But so many times in the midst of these things, we do so many different things. We will second guess ourselves about that quick. We know we're doing what the Lord's told us to do. We know we're supposed to be doing that. And the first little piece of adversity, we say, well, I must be doing wrong. I must not be supposed to do this. Brethren, I got news for you. Life's not a cakewalk. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be trials. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be storms. There's going to be fires. There are going to be all these things. And in the midst of all that, there's still a still, small voice. You need to remember that, brethren. Not only need to remember that, we need to take count of the blessings we have and not take them for granted. This woman failed to take count of the great blessing that she and her son had been spared through the famine. And the first thing she wants to do is complain about the fact this man ever entered her life. If he had not come into her life, they would have died way over there if they ate the first little cake that they had out of that barrel. But she's seen the mercies of God on a daily basis when she comes there to that barrel and she looks over in there knowing it's supposed to be empty and there's just enough to make some more for today. And she grabs that cruse and there's just enough oil. And it's amazing how the Lord can sustain us. The Bible says He daily loadeth us with blessings on a daily basis. So we have this to take count of. Now, let's fast forward. Fast forward Elijah's going to go, and all this wickedness has come before the Lord. He's going to face the prophets of Baal. As a matter of fact, he said, let's just set some things in order. You make a sacrifice, and I'll make a sacrifice, and whosoever God answers, that's who God is. Man, he is bold. He says, cry a little louder. Perhaps your God is sleeping. Maybe he's on vacation. Perhaps you might, there, and all this bloodletting and people cutting themselves, we think, oh my goodness. But you know what they were doing over there? They were cutting themselves. The prophets of Baal were cutting themselves and crying out. And it was nothing. Oh, Elijah is so confident at this point in time in the Lord. He says, I'll tell you what, boys, fill up some barrels of water and soak this sacrifice down. Man, they put so much water on the sacrifice that it filled up the ditch around the sacrifice. And Elijah prayed, and God sent down fire from on high. And not only did it consume the sacrifice, it licked the water up out of the ditch. And this same Jezebel, who was married to this wicked king, finds out what's taking place, because soon after that, Elijah slew all the prophets of Baal. And she sends word to Elijah, before the sun sets tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing to you that you've done to them. Elijah takes off running, scared to death, ready to die. Ready to die. Elijah, you prayed, and God shut up heaven. He carried you out by the brook, and he fed you from the brook, and he gave you water from the brook, and sent ravens to bring you meat and bread. And when the brook ran dry, he sent you to an old widow woman's house, and she made cake for you every day in the midst of the famine from an empty barrel. And you know it was a miracle that took place. He heard your cry when you prayed, and you sent down fire from on high and consumed the sacrifice. He gave you the strength to slay the prophets of Baal. And now the wife of the king has said that she's going to kill you. And everything's over and undone. Got a little opposition, didn't he? Everything's going pretty good, but now he's got a little opposition. Now he says, well, I'm just ready to die. I quit. I'm the only one. You know what God said? No, you're not. You're not. Oh, Elijah having a big old pity party. I'm the only one left. You know, we can get like that sometimes. What do you think we don't? You know what, brethren? I got news for you. God's got a people all across this old world, and it's the most amazing thing when you get to spend some time with them. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're in better shape in some places than they are in others. But I'm telling you, he's got a people all across this planet. And it's amazing when you get to go and visit with them. He told Elijah, he's got, I've reserved myself 7,000 have not bowed a knee to the image of Baal. You see, Elijah forgot to take note of some blessings in his life. And when adversity came, he crumbled. And the same thing will happen in your life. Same thing happens in my life. The first sign of adversity, if we don't remember and we don't pay attention. Let's go over here just a moment. And I love this. I've read this a lot of times. I really have. But this little bitty piece of this sentence has just leapt off the page. If you turn to Mark in the fourth chapter. In Mark in the fourth chapter, it says, in that same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. If there's ever been a time to get in a boat in your life, this is it. The Lord said, let's pass over to the other side. I'd have been standing on the front of the ship. Let's go! It don't matter what kind of storm comes. The Lord said, we're going to the other side. Do you think there's any kind of storm that's going to come up in the midst out there that's going to prevent you from making the other storm? You do realize that the very Son of God said, we're going to the other side. At what point in time would you get scared of not making it to the other side? You ever thought about that? The Lord said, hey, let's go to the other side. Okay, Lord, let's go to the other side. Oh, there's contrary wind. We may not make it. Have you forgot who's in the ship with us? Look at what it says here. When the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. This little sentence right here is the one that just said, hello, And there were also with him other little ships. This is amazing to me. Here's the Lord in this ship. There's a whole fleet of ships out there. And there's a whole bunch of little bitty ships that are traveling across this ocean. But the Lord, He's in this ship, and the little ships are traveling with Him. Sometimes I feel like I'm in one of them little ships, you know? That, y'all ever been in a little ship? It doesn't take much of a wave to give a little boat problems. That'd be like getting in a bass boat versus getting in a canoe. Y'all ever been canoeing? Man, it's funny to watch people who've never been canoeing. They can't make it very far down the creek without flipping over because it's just a little ship. It's a lot easier to go in a John boat because it's got a little more balance. But a canoe, if somebody hadn't been in a canoe, they spend more time dipping water out of their canoe and trying to get it turned back over than they do actually making it down the creek. And it's the funnest thing in the world to watch. That's what I think about. I think about a little ship. Now, they get out here. It's the Lord and all these. And it's just like it's an afterthought. And there were also with him other little ships. There's also some other little ships out here. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The little ship that the Lord's in is full of water. What do you think is happening to the little ships all around him? They're full of water, brother. The same storm that hits is hitting the boat that he's in is hitting the other little ships that are out there. You reckon they remember who they're in the ocean with? You reckon they remember who's making the voyage with them? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, the other thing is, there's a great miracle that just took place right here, and we just read right by it. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Have you ever gone to the sink, and Mama had dishwater in the sink, And you stuck a glass in there and it was kind of floating? You know, if you push that thing down and it gets full of water, you know what happens? It just settles right in the bottom of the sink. You know why? Because it's full of water. You know what the Bible just said? This boat was full of water. And they're still out there on the sea. Folks, sometimes can look mighty, mighty dim in our lives. But it don't matter how much water gets inside the boat. And the reason I tell you it doesn't matter how much water gets inside the boat is because if the captain of our salvation has said we're going to the other side, brethren, I don't care how much water gets in the boat, we're going to the other side. He comes out there. He's in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? This is the disciples, brethren. You know, the same thing can happen to us. When the wind starts blowing and the waters start beating on the ship, so many times we're ready to bail out of the ship. I want you to know, though, brethren, over in Isaiah 46, he says, Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. I want you to know, when the Lord speaks to Jacob, Jacob is the Lot, right? Jacob's the lot of his inheritance. What does that mean? He's a representation of the Lord's people. That's what he is. One time Ty wanted to buy some calves on RFD TV. They had some pretty little black Angus heifers. He said, Daddy, we need to buy them. What he didn't realize, it said lot number so-and-so. There were 6 18-wheeler loads of them little six heifers that it was showing on that screen. Them six heifers represented the whole kit and caboodle that they were selling. He didn't realize it was 6 18-wheeler loads of heifers. He said, Daddy, that's some pretty heifers. We need to buy them. Let's bid on it. It was a live auction on TV. I said, No, son, there's 6 trailer loads of them calves. It would take us the rest of our life to pay for them 6 trailer loads of calves. We can't afford them. Jacob's a representation of all of them, you see. Jacob is his child. Over in Romans 2, it says, They're not all Israel which are of Israel. He's not a Jew which one outwardly, but one inwardly, whose circumcision is not outward in the flesh, but inward in the flesh, the tables of the heart. And I got news for you. All Israel shall be saved, but they're not all Israel which are of Israel, but all Israel shall be saved. So he says, hearken to me, Jacob. Listen to me, Israel. This is God speaking unto us today. Listen. Which are born by me from the belly. That's kind of like a woman with child, isn't it? Carried in the womb. Born by me from the belly. Which are carried from the womb. And even, he said, don't stop then. You know, it comes a point in time I quit carrying my kids around. They got too big. You know what the Lord says? Even to your old age. Even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. I got news for you, brethren. Our God is in the heavens. And He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And I don't know why, but it pleased Him to choose you in a covenant of grace. And He's carried you from before you ever entered the womb. He's carrying you right now. And He's going to continue to carry you until which time He carries us home. That's why He tells us, be of good cheer. In this world, you're going to have tribulations, brethren. But He said, I've written this unto you so you can be of good cheer. You know why? He said, I've overcome the world. I don't care how bad the storm gets. There's blessings in the midst of it, brethren, that we can examine. There was a time my boat was slapped full of water and it didn't sink. You know why? Because I know the captain of my salvation is. But there's also times where the Lord has blessed me immensely. And I was so caught up in the situation that I didn't even recognize how gracious and merciful my Father had been unto me. Yeah, we need to count them. We need to take note of them. We need to enter into His courts with thanksgiving. And I'll tell you, we never need to be dismayed nor discouraged. You know why? Not only has He carried you from before the womb all the way to He presents you to the Father, we can cast all our cares upon Him. For He careth for you. Doesn't say He cares about you. Oh, I can care about you. I can love you. I can care about you. But when it says careth, that means He provides for. You know, there's another picture of that where He's shown as a great provider. You know what that is? He's a good shepherd, brethren. A good shepherd careth for the sheep. And I got news for you. There's not a better shepherd than the one we serve. As a matter of fact, His love is so great for the sheep that even though the 99 lay safe in the fold, I promise you, if there's a single one of them out there in the thicket, He's going to get them and bring them out. You know why? Because He purchased every one of them, body, soul, and spirit. And yes, we're going to pass over to the other side. And if there's no greater comfort you can have in this old life than knowing that the captain of our salvation has said, we're going to cross and we're going to land on that bright and shining shore where He shall be the light forevermore. I got news for you, brethren. I don't care how bad the waves get. Know who's in the boat. I don't care how bad the waves get. Know who's in our fleet. I don't care how bad the situation is. I promise you there's something to be thankful for in the midst of it, because I promise you this. God has been far better to me all the days of my life than I have ever deserved, because I am not deserving of the least of His mercies. And if I had nothing else to rejoice in other than the fact that there's coming a day when I'll close my eyes in death and awake in glory because of His great mercy and His great love over He's loved me, I promise you I don't need another single thing in my life if I have that blessed assurance. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, we're blessed beyond measure. We're the most blessed people on the planet. Let us take count of it, and let us give Him thanks for it. May the Lord bless us, our prayer.